Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Amen. All right, well, go ahead and turn to Ephesians 2. And I just want to give you a little bit of background. We're going line upon line, precept upon precept. So we started in Ephesians 1:1. And now we are in chapter 2, and we're going to go ahead and look at verse number 11. But it's going to be an interesting sermon. But first, if you've already read the verse, but I just want to give you background on Ephesians. So here's Paul writing to these Gentiles, and Gentile is basically somebody who is unchurched, okay? Do I have any unchurched people in the house, and you're proud and you're loud and you're kind of like a first generation Christian, and maybe you don't know much, and when they say turn to your Bible, like I said, Ephesians, and you're still going to the table of contents, and girl, keep up with that. Yes. Don't feel like you're inadequate. Don't feel like, oh man, I don't know where they're going. I don't know what they're talking about. You just keep being you and do you, and God is going to bless you and build you up. And so Paul's talking to Ephesians, and he's starting to teach them who they are in Christ. I want to tell you your divine purpose. That's what he's writing to them. You see, the church is called to war in the spiritual realm, right? So God has called the church to war, and this is what he's building up to. And we're going to build up to it with him. But first, the church needs to know how to walk, okay? Before we can war, we got to learn how to walk. And even before we walk, we need to know where we stand. And so Paul is teaching them through the Holy Spirit, how do you stand in Christ? Where do you stand in Christ? Who are you in him? And he's teaching them their divine purpose. So in the last couple of verses, you know, before the ones that I'm going to teach in 11, Pastor Jess ministered, and it was just about the workmanship of God, that you are amazing, that God designed you, that you are an artist's work, that God has the ability to use you, the living possibility that you can do his good works here on the planet now and today. And so that's amazing, amazing hope. And then Paul comes back and he wants to remind them a little bit about where they're at. And so it says in Ephesians 2:11, and I'm reading out of the NLT, and it says this: don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. So, little bucket list in my life to teach on circumcision in a woman's ministry Bible study. Okay, I'm being sarcastic. Like, this is hilarious. Like, we are talking about circumcision at Women Rock. Like, that's funny. Okay, so loosen up a little bit. Believe me, it's going to be good. But it is kind of funny, right? Is it funny?
Yeah.
Okay. So he starts saying, don't forget, you Gentiles. Don't forget you who were away from God. You see, a Gentile is anyone who's outside of the Jewish race, okay? And so I am a Gentile. Pretty much almost everybody in this room, I think we have a couple people who have Jewish descent, but we are outside of that Old Testament covenant. God has called us in a different calling with this new covenant. So he's reminding us, hey, you're Gentiles. So that's you and me. So turn to the woman next to you, say, hey, good morning, Gentile. That's us. So God is telling them, don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens. You guys, that's very derogatory. Like, if we want to go like Old Testament, like, that is very derogatory. And it's like, oh, okay, last verse you were just telling me how amazing I am. But Paul, now you're bringing me back around. And he's saying, I don't want you to forget you used to be outsiders. You used to be uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. Verse number 12, in those days you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. You did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. And you lived in this world without God and without hope. Wow, I mean, Paul is really going for it, okay? But then in verse number 13, he says, but now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. We're going to break down these three verses. Girls, are you ready for a Bible study?
Yeah.
because we're going to go Old Testament, New Testament. We are going to read the Word, and we are going to understand this scripture and why is it so important. You see, why is circumcision so important in the Old Testament? I want to just give you some background on why it was an important thing. You see, to be circumcised was to mark yourself as a follower of God Almighty. It was a marking. It was something that they knew is an identification, okay? And a lot of religions had marks. They would mark their bodies. In fact, if you remember with Elijah, remember when he was fighting with the prophets of Baal, okay? And they began to cut themselves. And there was markings like that. If you look in, you know, National Geographic, you see tribes will mark themselves. They'll elongate their necks or they'll stretch their ears. Even modern day, you look around and you can see the different tribes, maybe when you go to Target or the coffee shop, and you can see the hipsters, okay? And they're marked themselves with their tight jeans and their flannel and their beards, okay? You know, maybe you see the thugs and they've marked themselves. Maybe it is with a tattoo of whatever street they come from. See, people mark themselves. It's a part of their tribing. So circumcision was a marking to say, you know what? I'm following God Almighty. Turn to Genesis. We're going to read Genesis 17 and we're going to see where this actually came from. Hallelujah, women's Bible study. Genesis 17. Don't worry, we won't stay here the whole time. But it's super important to us as Christians to understand where we came from. You see, the Old Testament physical picture is a New Testament spiritual principle. Okay, so that circumcision is a spiritual principle that you and I can learn from in the New Testament where we live in this new covenant. But just to give you some background, Genesis 15, you can read that on your own. But God speaks to Abraham, and Abraham knows nothing about God. And God just speaks to him and he says, follow me, follow me. Come on, let's go. I want you to move up. I want you to get out of your land, and I want you to be a God follower. I want you to come with me. And so Abraham gets up and he follows God, okay? And God blesses him. He blesses him with land. He blesses him with possessions. And all of a sudden, God and Abraham have this meet up. And God says to Abraham, I'm going to bless your descendants. Now, Abraham is 99 years old. Okay, everybody say 99. So Abraham's 99 years old, and he says, okay, you're going to bless my descendants. I don't have any kids. And I hear what you're saying, God, but how do I know that you're going to do this? How do I know that you're going to give me the land? How do I know that's going to happen? And so Abraham gets a covenant with God. A covenant is like a promise. It's a binding agreement. It's a contract. And so he cuts covenant with God. And God tells him, go and get some animals. So he gets these animals and they cut them in half. Apologies to the vegans and all that kind of stuff, okay? I'm not trying to be all gross and everything, but this is the way they did stuff. In fact, this was a very secular way to cut a covenant. But God says, this is what Abraham understands, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to write a contract with him. Maybe if God wrote a contract with us and it was nowadays, maybe we would click on the box, you know, do I agree to all the terms and conditions? And it'd be like 14 pages. And you're like, sure, whatever. Did I sign my life away? Okay. And so Abraham, he walked through those and you can read it yourself. And he cut covenant. You see, blood was drawn. Blood, when blood was drawn, then a covenant was made. And it was a marking. It was something that could not be broken. And you know what's so awesome about this covenant that God had is whenever somebody would cut a covenant with somebody, they would do this contract. They never wanted to do it with anyone lower than them, right? You always want to do it with someone higher than you because you are the beneficiary. You get the benefit. What benefit does God have to make a covenant with people like us? What do we have to offer? What did Abraham have to offer? But he came down and became lowly. Oh, come on. This is a picture of Jesus. He came down and became lowly and he cut a covenant. He said that I'm going to be with you. You have my blessing. You have my word that I'm going to fulfill this and it's going to happen. So now let's read about circumcision. There's one marking. Now here we're going to see another marking in Genesis 17:9. And it says this, then God said to Abraham, your responsibility is to obey the terms of the covenant. You and all your descendants have this continual responsibility. This is the covenant that you and your descendants must keep. Each male among you must be circumcised. You must cut off the flesh of your foreskin as a sign of a covenant between me and you. From generation to generation, every male child must be circumcised on the eighth day of his birth. And this applies not only to the members of your family, but also the servants born in your household and the foreign-born servants that you have purchased, and all must be circumcised. Your body will bear the mark of an everlasting covenant. Any male who fails to be circumcised will be cut off from the covenant family for breaking the covenant. So you see how important this is. So Abraham hears from God again, and he says, I want to follow God. And then God says, okay, this is the terms. Could you imagine Sarah? I mean, I don't know if any of you wives are like this, but your husband says he hears from God. Sometimes it's crazy, right? Sometimes you're like, are you sure you heard from God? So here's Abraham saying what he's going to do. He goes in and performs it. And I can just imagine saying, are you sure you heard from God? Like, it is terrifying. This woman wants a baby, and this is what God is asking him to do? Okay, she's terrified. And so it's just kind of a funny picture. But remember, the Old Testament is a physical picture of a New Testament spiritual reality. See, Christ's blood covers our sins. That was the cut, and that was the marking for us today. We don't get saved by circumcision. That's just silly. Okay, that would be like we get saved by baptism, and we really don't believe it, and we really don't have faith. Okay, so it's just like when we do altar call, and we say, you don't get saved by raising your hand. This isn't some spiritual pixie dust, right? And fairy dust that just floats you up to heaven. But there must be faith to follow that decision in Jesus Christ. And so today, Christ's blood covers our sins. The mark on his hands and on his feet is the covenant that you and I get to benefit from. If we relied surely on circumcision, then what is the point of Christ's blood? And see, this was kind of the fight that was happening at that time in Ephesians. Because people were saying, well, you have to be circumcised. And you understand why it's so important. You get it. But these people are Gentiles. And they are, it's like, you're asking me, what? What does your God ask you to do? Okay, and he's saying it's about Christ's blood. It's about Christ's blood because it can turn into something that's just about works and not about God. It began to get into idolatry, where people would demand God's favor because they were circumcised. So now we can move on to verse number 2. Are you guys, we've gone through the circumcision. You've made it. Okay. Verse number 2. In the New King James, I want to read it out of there because Paul begins to tell them, don't forget you're uncircumcised. Don't forget you're outsiders. And then in one verse, he tells them 5 different ways that they are estranged from God. He's like, and I really don't want you to forget. And he begins to tell them, and at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, and having no hope without God. Hey, I just want to remind you how bad it was. I just want to remind you how far you were. You know, it's kind of like if Jesus was over here and he's reminding them, because right now they're born again, saved. And he's like, I just want to remind you how far you were. That one time you were without Christ, okay? That you were aliens from him, that you were strangers from the covenant, that you had no hope, and that you were without God in this world. He wanted to remind them of the gap and how big it was. And girls, that was us. That was us. Do you remember how far you were from Christ? And I'm a church girl who grew up in church, but I know the sins that I got myself into, okay? And maybe you're a church girl too, or maybe you ran the world and you did everything you could. You were so close to hell, you thought you were gonna fall into it, but I wanna remind you how he's brought you close. Don't forget. He said, Gentiles, don't forget how far God has brought you. How far, how you used to be a stranger. How you didn't know things. Do you remember your journey at the beginning of following Christ? Remember I was talking about finding the Bible, you know, the books of the Bible and all these types of things. But do you remember how you just learned, you began to learn that. And there was so much joy in that salvation. And it was so exciting. But you definitely maybe felt like, do I fit in here? Felt a little strange. You know, my daughter just started playing basketball, and I did not grow up playing basketball at all. Like, I was a soccer girl. I understand soccer. Talk to me about soccer, but basketball, I have no concept. So he's telling them, you know, you got to get in this position. And I mean, I didn't even know what a point guard was, okay? Like, that's like the main position, I think. Okay? And then he's like, you got to do this. And he's having them run drills, and he's saying words, and they're just going. And my daughter understands it. And so then he's like, I need your daughter to get some real basketball shoes. I'm like, okay, real bad. She has Nikes. He's like, no, you need to get yourself, you know, and he starts naming these basketball players. You guys, it was like Greek to me. I was like, wait, slow down. Now I understand when I say like turn to 1 Thessalonians and people are like, wait, what? Okay, like it's a weird word. Okay, so he's like, you need to get her some Paul Georges, right? Which is a basketball player, am I right? Yeah. I'm looking at that. Okay. Then I'm going home and I'm like, what was the name? Did he say Paul Newman's? No, that's a salad dressing. Okay, so then I have to ask my basketball friends. So then I finally get her some shoes, and the cheapest ones were some LeBrons, okay? Which are like, you know, this huge. And then when I'm telling people, yeah, I got her, I'm almost saying Lamar's. Like, I feel so illiterate. Like, I'm like, I got her some Lamar James. They're like, woo, where, it's like a knockoff or something. No. But it's so funny how far I feel from basketball. I have no concept. But as we grow in it, and then I'm learning and I'm understanding the rules and I'm getting it, and it's getting closer and closer and closer. So Gentiles, girlfriends, I want to remind you that yes, we used to be far from God, but the blood of Jesus has drawn us near and closer, and you're growing, and don't give up. Keep on moving. Keep on going forward. Don't stop. He's drawing us closer. It says that we used to have no hope. Means no ability to even know God's presence in this world. Whew. Remember, you used to live without his presence. How could we have lived without his presence? Yet we did. We need to realize how far we were from God so we can appreciate the gift so much more. When we remember, maybe there's things you want to forget, and I understand that, but I have scripture telling us right now, don't forget how far you were. Don't forget, because in those worship experiences, when we sing songs, how great is the Lord our God, and then you remember, gosh, I remember where you took me from, Lord, and that worship becomes so much more, and the verses become so much more alive because you realize how important it is to cling to him, because you remember what it felt like being far away from him with no hope, with no presence, but God has taken us near him. And then verse number 13, amen. Verse number 13, it says, but now, you know what's really cool in Ephesians 2, verse number 4, says, but God in his loving mercies. You see, that verse, but God, joins with but now, and all of a sudden, there's this amazing, pivotal moment in our salvation where sin turns to salvation, girls, where things happen because the but God joins the but now, which is you and us, and we have been united with Christ. We have been given to him. See, that death now turns to life in our world. That sin now turns to salvation, and that hopelessness is now turned to eternal joy. Because but now, it says, but now, verse number 13, but now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Jesus. So today I just have 2 points, and it's just going to be about us being united with Christ. You see, the works and the circumcision, yes, got it. We weren't in, you know, that wasn't part of our covenant, but we have this new covenant. But now, but now we are united with Christ. And it has to do with our hearts, and it has to do with us giving our lives and everything to him. And in that covenant and in that promise, there are amazing things. So being united with Christ, number one, is that I don't answer to that old name anymore. I don't answer to that name anymore. Girls, I know you've been walking down the street before because all you are pretty cute. And you hear a little whistle, right? Hi, mommy. Hey. You know what I'm talking about. They start clicking. I don't know why. You don't turn your head, right? None of these women rock girls. Because you don't answer to that name. That's not my name. My name is not mommy, okay? Just to my kids, not to you, all right? You don't answer to that name. In Ephesians 2:11, he said, you were outsiders. He says in the next verse, you were aliens, you were strangers. But you don't answer to that name anymore. That's not your name. You're his daughter. You are his beloved. You don't go by that name anymore. You see, that person died when you put it to death and became alive in Jesus Christ. So you cancel that number, girlfriend. You don't answer to that anymore. Okay, this is a new life. Who dis? Okay? This is the new you. This is who you're answering to. You no longer are answering to stupid. Come on. Failure. Maybe you feel like you're a loser, and when somebody would call a loser, you turn your head because you thought that was your name. Maybe abuse in your life, and you just identified with that so much. And I'm telling you, when you are united with Christ, you don't answer to that name anymore. You were once an outsider. You were once an alien. That's not you anymore. You're a new girl. You're a new creation. Maybe you'd answer to bad mom or bad wife, depressed, sinner, tainted, cheater, fornicator, liar, drunk, druggie. Maybe the list, it's not on there, but you know what name you're taught, you've heard and you've answered to and you've turned your head. But now you're stronger. Now you're a new person. Now you don't have to turn your head to anybody that calls that name to you. Don't let the devil do that. You see, when that girl died and that name died and you became born again, a new creation in Christ, you put that to death. So did that fear, so did that past, so did that attitude. He's changed your name. Look in Genesis 17:1. This is so cool. We're going to look at Abraham again. And it says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. 99 years old, still no kids. At this time, Abram fell on his face on the ground. And then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I'm changing your name. Come on, highlight that in your Bible. I'm changing your name. He says, I am changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. Honey, your head shouldn't turn when you hear those old names. It should not turn, but instead you ought to walk a little bit with your chin up and a little bit higher, and you only turn to daughter. Yeah. And then you say, daughter of the King. That's right. Come on, stand up if I say your name in this place. When he calls you beloved, when he calls you child of God. Proverbs 31, woman, where are you at? Stand up. Answer to that name. Virtuous wife, holy, blessed mother, leader to my generation, a preacher, a full-time minister. Cleansed, redeemed, purpose-filled. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo. I need an organ. We got to know our name. It's so easy to answer to that old name, isn't it? It's familiar. Yeah, it's familiar because we'd answered to it so much. But it's a process. I used to get so mad at myself. And sometimes even still now, because old feelings still creep back up. I am a new creation, and I know that. And I know I'm a daughter of God, but sometimes old feelings creep back up. But that is why we dig into the Word. And that is why we go to things like conference and things that build us up. We go to Women Rock. That's why we have Breaking Free, because sometimes we need to learn to stop answering to that name. We need a little bit more, so we go to Breaking Free 2.0, and we'll be at Breaking Free 10.0 if they ever have one, because we know we need to build that up. But it is a process. Memories flood back. Doubt knocks on the door. You know, do you think Abraham, when he started telling everybody, I want you guys to start calling me Abraham, not Abram. You think people, has anyone told you something that God told him to do and you're like, okay. You're like, yeah, okay. And they're like, okay, 99, gonna have a kid. That's cool, dude. That's cool. I'm glad God told you that. Okay? And do you think at his birthday party, just like you guys sang to me, at his 100th birthday party, that maybe people were tempted just to be like, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear Abram. You're not Abraham. You have no kids yet, and you're 100 years old. Happy birthday to you. Because on his 100th, when he turned 100, is when the promise actually came. But don't you know, in that 1 year span, people were probably giving looks. People were probably calling names. Abram, what are you doing? Stop messing around. You know, God changed his wife Sarai's name to Sarah. He said, I'm going to change your name. I'm going to change your wife's name. And do you think the girls were maybe like, 90 years old, huh? Who wants to have a kid at 90 years old? If God asked you to do it, girls, would you do it? Yeah. Oh, you guys are really good Christians. But Abraham stuck to that faith. And that was the blessing. He's in the hall of faith in Hebrews because he stuck to that faith. Even at 100 years old, he knew God would promise him his baby Isaac. And see, Paul's writing to Ephesians, and I think he can tell they're starting to forget. I think he can tell that they're like, oh, you keep answering to that name. I want to remind you. You were an outsider. You were an alien. You were a stranger. But now God has called you into the new covenant. You're covered by the blood of Jesus. Paul's seeing that. And I just want to read to you in Colossians 3:5. Because I don't want us to forget. It says, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do. Now, I was going to cut out this verse, but I thought maybe I'll just read these sins so we all know that they're wrong. Okay. I was like, maybe I'll just skip this verse. No, I better keep it. Okay. All right. That we remember to put to death these sins, having nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. Okay, I want to stop right there because he's writing again to God's people. So if you ever feel like you struggle with going back to these things, you are not alone. But we're here to remind you, you don't got to answer to that name anymore. Maybe you answered it last night. Maybe you answered on the weekend. Okay, maybe he texted you and he said, hey. And you know you shouldn't be texting him when he says, hey, because he ain't your husband. But you said, hey, back. And hey led to other things. All right? And I'm telling you right now, yes, that might have happened. But you don't need to answer to that name from now on. And again, here comes these strong words. But now is the time to get rid of your anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off the old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. It is a process. It is a process. I would love to tell you that, you know, as soon as you get born again, that all those feelings wash away, but there are still memories and there are still feelings. Yeah. And I go through those things too. And that's why it's important for me to get to know my Creator. Yes. And that's why I read my Bible, not out of duty, not because it's a checklist. That's why I go to church once, twice, three times a day. That's why I registered for Women Rock. That's why they're going to the Shift Retreat and the youth camp, because it's a renewing and I'm learning and I'm growing and I'm getting closer to Him because I was created in His image. And it says in verse number 11, in this new life, it doesn't matter. Here we are again. If you are Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters. And He lives in all of us. Amen. So good. Such good stuff. Number two, second point. And this is it. I have a covenant with promises. So we're talking about being united with Christ. And in that unity, there is this covenant, there is this contract, and there's promises that come along with it. Yeah. You are now joined to God's people. right? God's chosen people, the Jews, you are now joined to them and all their promises, which at that time was such far out thinking. Like, I just want you to say, like, far out, dude. I know you don't have to. That's too youth ministry. Sorry, I was a youth pastor for a long time. Okay, but it is so far out there for that concept that it was probably really offensive. In fact, a lot of parables Jesus was saying, he was warning them. Like, there is a lot of parables in the Gospels that's like, hey, there's a change coming, okay? And I know you guys are my chosen people, and right now I'm ministering to you, but I have someone who's gonna minister to the Gentiles, and we are gonna be one, and we are gonna be together for eternity. And that was Paul's purpose. And so that's why Jesus prepped them. Even if you look at this parable, which I want you to turn to Matthew 20, verse number 1, and we're almost done here. You guys are doing good in this Bible study. We are flipping through our Bible. Matthew 20, verse 1, and this is a parable of unfair wages. And it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. And he agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and he saw someone standing around doing nothing. So he hired them. And he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard. And at noon again, he went out. And at 3 again, he went out and did the same thing. At 5 o'clock, the end of the workday, at 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in town again and saw more people standing around. And he asked them, 'Why haven't you been working?' And they replied, 'Ah, nobody hired us.' So the landowner told them, 'Then go out and join the others in my vineyard.' That evening, he took the foreman to call all the workers in and pay them, the beginning with the last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. And when those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more. But they too were paid a day's wage. And they received their pay, they protested the owner. And those people worked only 1 hour, yet you've paid them as much as you've paid us who worked all day in that scorching heat. And he answered them and said, 'Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I want to pay this last worker the same as you. It is against the law. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I am kind to others?' So those who were last now will be first, and those who are first now will be last." God is trying to let them in on a secret. That even the Gentiles who didn't even separate themselves, who weren't circumcised, who didn't get raised in church, or come on, unchurched people, hey, I'm gonna pay you that same wage. You get eternal life, you get the covenant, you get the promises. God wants to bless us. God wants to bless us. He warned them and he showed them that. Now it seems a little unfair, doesn't it? And isn't that a funny word nowadays? Everything has to be fair, right? It needs to be fair. Girlfriend, if it was fair, I would be in hell. I would not have salvation. The sins I did, I chose myself, and you did it too. So if I want fair, then I can get eternal life in hell. But if I want just, which means that God sent his son to die on the cross for me, then just is his blood covering over my sins, washing them away. Then that's what I want. We don't want fair, okay? We want just. We want God. We deserve hell. And I was thinking about it. We've been talking about it a couple times this week. Do you think there's going to be a surprise party in heaven? Do you think that we're going to get into heaven and we're like, yeah, and then all of a sudden there's going to be people like the second round and you're like, oh, surprise, you made it? No. It is totally going to be like that. Because we think we deserve the wage, right? And God's saying, girl, whoever calls on me will be saved. They will be saved. Surrender their hearts, surrender their life. It's so funny. Or we're going to be there, right? People are going to be surprised to see us. We'll be in the noisy section. It'll be good. So in that unity with Christ, there's a covenant and there's a contract, just like God did with Abraham. You know, if you're familiar with Dr. David Livingston, he was a missionary and a doctor in the 1800s. And there's this amazing story of him. He went to, I'm already getting choked up. Sorry, I'm a crier sometimes when I preach. He went to the mission fields and he was in the jungles and he was by the Nile River and he just went to tribes. And, you know, he would cut covenant with all these tribes. He just wanted to tell them about Jesus. He wanted to help them. So he'd cut covenant with all them. And the way that they would do it is you'd mix blood. So he'd have all these scars on his hand or on his forearm because he would cut with them. And there was a time when he was surrounded by an enemy tribe. Sorry, but you're girls, so you get this. And the enemy tribe began to ambush him, and all he could do was just lift his arm because it showed all the scars. And they knew if they came against Dr. David Livingstone, they came against every king that represented a scar. And they saw how he mixed blood and he mixed covenant with so many people, they thought it's not worth it. And see, girl, you've mixed blood with the king. And when you feel like the enemy comes against you, and you feel ambush, and you feel like it's coming every way against you and against your husband and against your kids and against your future, girl, you just got to lift your arm and lift up the word of God, and you show that enemy, no, I have a covenant. I've mixed blood with somebody that's so almighty and so big. And we get so scared of the devil, and I'm tired of Christians giving the devil a 5-star review on Yelp, saying how big he is, how strong he is, when we have a covenant. We have a covenant, and it's mixed with God. And if they come against me, they come against him. They come against my kids, they come against him. We own it. That's your strength. That's who you are. The Holy Spirit is our seal. He is our mark for this new covenant. He is for us. In Genesis 15, remember we talked about how God voluntarily made this covenant with Abraham. Who was Abraham? What did he have to offer to God? To God who says the earth is his footstool. And he said, no, I want to make a covenant with him. I want to be with him. In Genesis 17:6, this is our last verse for today. And it says this, he's talking about Sarah. And he says, and I will bless her and I will give you a son for her. Yes, I will bless her richly and she will become the mother of many nations. Kings of nations will come from her descendants. Then Abraham bowed down to the ground, but he laughed to himself in disbelief. 190-year-old people telling them that they're going to have kids. So many people will populate the earth because of him. And it says, how could I become a father at the age of 100, he thought. And how can Sarah have a baby when she is 90 years old? So Abraham said to God, may Ishmael live under your special blessing. So let me explain who Ishmael was. Abraham knew God was going to bless him, but he had these moments of doubt, right? Like any one of us. And back in the days, you would have a maidservant. And so Abraham thought it'd be a good idea, since Sarah's 90, he would go ahead and sleep with the maidservant, and she would have a baby on his behalf, okay? Which I know that's super awkward, but sometimes the Old Testament's really awkward, but it's normal back then, okay? And I'm just thankful we live these days. And so Ishmael's born, and so Abraham's like, I got a good idea, God, right? God's telling him his idea, and he's like, I got a good idea. Ishmael's already here. I don't really believe, this is what he's saying, I don't believe Sarah's going to get pregnant, so let's just use Ishmael, okay? And hear what God says. But God replied, no, Sarah, your wife, will give birth to a son for you. You will name him Isaac, and I will confirm my covenant with him and the descendants as an everlasting covenant. But my covenant will be confirmed with Isaac, who will be born to you and Sarah about this time next year. How many times do you and I try to settle with God for Ishmael? How many times do we try to say, no, God, that, it's cool. I got it figured out. Don't worry. I know you're God, but I've got the idea and the plan. And we try to settle for Ishmael. We try to settle for that man. You're looking for that man, right? Your husband, your future husband, and you are praying for that. How many single girls do we have in here? I just want you to wave at me. Okay, all right. And you are praying for that husband. You're like, God, I want a man of God. I'm gonna have a man of God, Lord. He is gonna serve you, and he is gonna be rich, and he is gonna have a good job, and that, Lord, I'm believing you. And then a year goes by. Maybe 2 years go by and you're like, God, I just want a man of God. I just want a man of God, Lord. You know, he doesn't have to be rich. He doesn't even have to have a job at this point. I want a man of God, right? Year or two goes by. God, I just want a man. I'll take a man, Lord. Is there a man? And we start to settle for an Ishmael. And God says, hold on, just hold on, don't settle, don't quit, don't compromise. God has something for you. You can apply that to a job. God's told you you're going to have a certain job. God's told you things about your kids. You say, well, maybe I just won't raise them in the ways of God this way. It's too hard. And we start to compromise with God. We say, God, I'll just settle with this and I'll settle with that. But God's saying, you know, hold on, hold out, because the blessing is coming. Remember in Ephesians 2:13 that you are now near to Christ and his blood, and there is an unleashing and an abundance of promises, a floodgate that is now opened over your life. So don't settle. Don't settle. Keep to the covenant. Keep to the promises. God has them for you. See, we get in this Ishmael mentality where if I could just have a good life, Lord, please, God, if I could just have a good life. And he says, I promised you eternal life. I promise you abundant life. God, could you just please forgive me of this one sin, God, if you could just. And God says, I've forgiven you of all your sins. It's as far as the east is from the west. You don't have to worry about that. God, if I could just feel you, Lord, if I could just feel you at this moment. And God says, I have eternal presence with you. I live inside of you, girl. There is a promise that is so much greater. God, if I could only just get this one job, could you provide just one job? He says, I promise you success. Girls, this is all in the Bible. If I could hear one thing from you, God, just speak one word to me. And God says, I promise you deep intimacy. God, could you just give me a sign, Lord? A sign. Let a butterfly float by my face, please, God. And God says, God, girl, I'll order your steps. I'll give you guidance. I'll walk you through the valley of the shadow of death. You don't have to worry about that. You know, could you help me, God? And God says, I'll carry the burden. These are all your promises. Lord, help me deal with pain. He says, honey, I'll heal you. These are your promises. And as you get into the word, you learn more and more and more. And that unleashing and that floodgate is over you, girl. Woo! Those are my 2 points. Aren't you glad you came to women's Bible study and learned about circumcision? So we like divvy up all these verses, you know, to the teaching team. It's like, oh, circumcision, okay. But it was really good. You know what was even better? It was about covenant. It was a message about covenant. And if you want to hear more of that, you should really sign up for Bible College. It starts again in August, I think. They just graduated they're going to be graduating everybody. And I went to Bible College at this church in 2002. I use a lot of it all the time. I mean, that was stuff I learned then. And if you're interested, you should really pray about it, because you just get more and more and more of that meat. So anyways, did you girls get something from God?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.